1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The severe weather just keeps coming this spring. This afternoon, it moved through western Pennsylvania, where there have been high winds and heavy rain with flooding reported. CBS Pittsburgh's Ken Rice reports.
We have what the National Weather Service calls three confirmed tornado touchdowns in our area. Tonight, viewers capturing images like this, what appears to be a funnel cloud off Interstate 70 in Washington County.
In Houston, at least four people have died after an EF1 tornado, straight-line winds, and flooding. Houston Mayor John Whitmire has toured the city, saying afterwards last night's damage is among the worst he's seen.
It's not too many times I use the word wow. This is a wow event.
The county's top elected official says it could take weeks to restore power to some parts of Houston. Trucks carrying badly needed aid have rolled across a newly built U.S. pier and into Gaza. Today's shipment is the first in an operation that American military officials anticipate could scale up to 150 truckloads a day. CBS's David Martin tells us while this is a humanitarian mission, it is not an unarmed one.
National Security spokesman John Kirby says that in addition to the 1,000 soldiers and sailors conducting the mission, a small force of U.S. troops is protecting the causeway anchored to the shore. A Pentagon official says the troops are at the end of the causeway, about 500 yards offshore, and will not violate President Biden's order of no American boots on the ground in Gaza.
The man convicted of attacking Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer in their San Francisco home is sentenced to 30 years in prison. CBS's Scott McFarlane on letters submitted to the judge about David DePapp's attack in 2022.
In Paul Pelosi's letter, he describes the ongoing lingering pain and health problems he's suffering because of that attack, ranging from migraines to dizziness to balance issues, walking issues, light sensitivity, and also described the gruesomeness of the injury to his hand in that attack.
A cat is receiving a special honor from a New England school. CBS's Peter King explains.
There's literature and litter at Shore. Okay, stick with me, because the latter applies to a cat named Max. He's become a beloved fixture at the Vermont State University campus in Castleton, so much so that the school is presenting him with an honorary degree of, here it comes, Doctor of Literature. Max lives with a family near the campus. He spent a lot of time at school during the past 4 years, and that means he's easily completed his degree requirements. Call it the perfect honor. I'll stop now. Peter King, CBS News.
Now, a pause. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Federally funded food pantries in Wisconsin have to stop asking for identification in October. State health officials say the aim is to improve access for people who need it most. But some pantry officials wonder how they'll track demographic information or prevent food shortages. Wisconsin Republicans gathering in Appleton this weekend for the state party convention. Democrats are raising a lot more money these days, but state GOP chair Brian Schimming isn't fazed.
Their cost per vote's pretty high. They dropped over $100 million on Ron Johnson and lost. And so I always tell people what's
money doesn't tell the whole story.
Money does not tell the whole story at all.
Schimming speaking with Wisconsin Eye. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A long road trip for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers begin what will be their longest road trip of the season tonight in Houston. On the mound, the Astros right-hander Hunter Brown against Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta.
We have to understand that and admit that they are a very good team. But I know that, you know, we have to give them some respect because they play the game and they play hard all the time.
Then on Monday, it's on to Miami to face the Marlins, followed by a trip to Fenway Park against the Red Sox next weekend. The Brewers will be back on Memorial
Memorial Day in a game against the Cubs. NBA former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer introduced as the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Coach Bud pledged to win a title there. NFL, the Jets' Aaron Rodgers sat down for a two-hour interview with Tucker Carlson. The topics included Trump, Biden, Vladimir Putin, the COVID-19 vaccination, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. Former Packers tight end Robert Tonyan spent the past year with the Chicago Bears. The 30-year-old Tonyan is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A sunny and warm day again for tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. In the late afternoon and evening, a couple of storms could pop up. Another nice day for Sunday, mostly sunny and a high around 80.
It's 71 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we kick off the week leading up to Memorial Day weekend with a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please, can we make it stop? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allbo Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Okay, I don't hear Haley. Hey, well, Rachel, can you hear me? All right. Oh, no, I'm having problems hearing. Shoot. Let me, let me jump back and come right back, Haley, if you don't mind. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm here with Rachel Carr-Shunk, who is the Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts Native Helpline. And we're here today to talk about the helpline and everything kind of going on with MMIR and Awareness Month and all of that, because it is May. So,
absolutely. I'm super excited to be here and share some information about Strong Hearts. And yeah, we can get to it. Hopefully, Robert can hear everyone now.
Yes, I can. I can hear everyone.
Okay,
awesome.
Good.
Hey, Rachel, thanks for so much for coming on. And it's exciting always to have a great organization like yours on. Let's talk a little bit, you know, for our listeners, just a little quick overview of what Strong Hearts, a Native Helpline, is.
Sure. So Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a culturally appropriate response to intimate partner violence for our relatives across Indian country. We are a 24/7, 365 days. We have advocates on the line that can provide all kinds of assistance and support to our relatives who may be experiencing intimate partner violence. But not just our relatives who are experiencing that. We can also we also take calls from maybe helpers, right? Maybe family members of people who are experiencing violence, or just people looking for more information on how to support our relatives that have experienced that. You can contact our advocates 24/7, like I said, at 1-844-7-NATIVE. But we also have text and chat advocacy as well, so they can text that number. It's 1-844-7-NATIVE. Or you can chat on our website at www.strongheartshelpline.org.
Yeah, what a great organization. And we love joking around. We kind of started around the same time, Native Roots Radio and Strong Hearts. And I've seen you all over. As a matter of fact, in our tribal Ho-Chunk tribal paper, the Ho-Duck, there's a big ad in there. And so you guys are reaching a lot of our Native people. I think what's really important that there's a coalition between like MMIR and Strong Hearts Helpline. And let's talk a little bit about that in this little first segment.
Sure. So, you know, when we talk about MMIR, well, first, let's just really define how we define it. It's missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. So we try to be inclusive of all of our relatives who may have experienced intimate partner violence or violence that has resulted in our relatives going missing or, you know, unfortunately being murdered and things like that. So there's an intersection between the services that we provide for people that have experienced intimate partner violence and that missing and murdered piece. And there's a lot of intersections and it's a very complicated topic, but, I think across Indian country, in all tribal communities, we know of our relatives who've experienced this type of violence or this crisis, right? And that's the level that it's at. It's at epidemic levels of crisis because every community that I've been to, you know, you can name multiple families that have experienced this type of violence or this crisis of MMIR. So our advocates, our response is just to promote, peer support, promote safety, promote access to healing.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that's really our mission here, so to speak, at Native Roots Radio is to educate our allies and educate people that are listening to. There's a lot of things that happen to Native Americans that I believe a lot of people don't know, and mm-hmm. even our allies don't know. And part of that, this has been a story affecting us since colonization and the exploitation of what was originally Native land.
Absolutely. You know, you can't really talk about our experience of violence and oppression and the exploitation of our land without talking about colonization, right? And then you start to think about how colonization has impacted our laws, our policies, our institutions and structures. And they're all really designed to oppress Indigenous people and our BIPOC relatives. So we talk about, removal, right? Mm-hmm. Assimilation policies, forced sterilization, the breaking of treaties, boarding school and adoption era. All of these have really shaped the way that we exist today and the way that either we try to access safety, try to access justice, try to access healing. So you can't talk about our current experience of intimate partner violence or MMIR without talking about colonization and why we're here at this spot today of having such significant rates of violence in our community, high rates of our relatives going missing and not having, a similar response that other people when they go missing, yeah. that type of either criminal justice response or media response. So it's all connected. And like I said earlier, it is a very complicated and complex discussion. I think we could probably talk for hours on end about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we talk a lot about these issues, but it needs to be talked about. And, Native American society did not just start out this way. And this has been a process, like you said, with a lot of the colonization, boarding schools. We could go on and on. And that's a thing that it just didn't happen, Rachel. It's, mm-hmm. it, and I hate to play the victim role, but it happened to us. And we're the byproduct of a lot of trauma that our relatives in the past have gone through.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when we talk about the experience of trauma, you know, people think of acute trauma or something, recent trauma, right? When you're talking about Indigenous people, you have to remember that historical trauma and the impacts of that, right? I mean, there's the science behind the epigenetics of trauma and how that is passed down generation to generation. And like I said, the cycles of trauma that exist within our communities results in this experience of a different experience of violence, a different experience of access to systems, a different experience of access to justice, that is unique to our communities and our relatives.
Absolutely. Hey, Rachel, hold on. Hang on for another segment. We're talking about Strong Hearts Native Helpline and also just a little history for our listeners about where we are, where we've come from, and where we'd like to go. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate partnering with Strong Hearts Helpline. Hey, Rachel, we're really having a great conversation here. And I just like the process of calling in. I just want to throw this out here because I know last time we talked about this, and it's really important for our listeners that are going to use the service or think about using the service about the anonymity. And, you know, we joke around here as Ho-Chunks that we're all related. And mm-hmm. So that's good in a good way. But sometimes when it comes to secrets in the family, things like that, and abuse, you need an outside person to talk to.
Sure. And I think that's something that is what really excites me about Strong Hearts, because I think I talked about it last time, as I am relatively new to Strong Hearts as an organization. But I come from working in my tribal community, right? So I'm well aware. A lot of the times we are actually truly related, right? And, yeah. You know, people don't want to come to get services from their sister, right? For a number of reasons, and that's okay. And so we exist as, you know, we provide that culturally honoring and culturally appropriate care to our relatives, but in a way that, you know, is anonymous and safe for someone to come forward and say, you know what, I am experiencing this. Unfortunately, there is still so much stigma around the experience of violence in our communities. The fact that we're anonymous and confidential is, I think, really paramount to promoting a safe response to a lot of our relatives who aren't comfortable with going inside their community to get support.
Right. And that is so, so important. And one of the things too, that I really, as being a, you know, we talk about our sacred animals, and our pets are our family here. And I know to help, there's Strong Hearts will help connect you to people that, because that's a big thing with the pets. It's not just having your kids and bringing your kids if you have to go to a shelter or whatnot.
Sure, yeah. So, and you know, I think one of our best response or our best level of advocacy is peer support. But another thing that we have at Strong Hearts is our directory. We have a directory of all Native service providers and also non-Native providers, because unfortunately there are communities that don't have Native resources. But we have a directory that is, you know, we can do warm handoffs or warm pass-offs to these other service providers that may be able to provide more direct services, whether that's emergency housing, transitional housing, support with pets and things like that. So we have a phenomenal directory that we can lean on for when our relatives are ready to move towards getting some of that direct service that we can't provide on our end. But, you know, we do have that handoff ability.
Do you ever feel that some people call and they just need to talk it through? Because when you're in a fire, so to speak, you don't know how hot it is until you hear it from your own mouth, go to your own two ears, and bounce it off somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, our advocates are trained in talking about relationships, healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, and abusive relationships. So a lot of the times people, you know, they feel a certain way about something, but maybe they're just not sure, right? And so they can give our advocates a call and talk through some of the things that they might find concerning, that they need a little bit of support from our advocates to say, yeah, that's falling on the spectrum of an abusive relationship, or it's unhealthy at this point, or, you know, this is a healthy relationship. So there is that opportunity to kind of talk through some of the things that our relatives are experiencing. And, you know, our advocates are trained to help them go through that relationship spectrum and talk through it.
And that's great for all ages, because as you were talking about that, well, that's really good for young people. But I think all ages, it's really helpful to bounce that off and what's going on in my life here. This doesn't feel right, and I'm not used to trusting my gut.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, the reality of the experience of violence is a lot of the times, you know, communities, individuals can think that maybe something, you know, they have some kind of feeling in their gut that it's not normal, but maybe they've witnessed it, right? And maybe that is their normal. And so to have the opportunity to talk in an anonymous way, in a confidential way, to advocates who, one, are trained in understanding the dynamics of power and control, but also the dynamics of Indian country or Indigenous experiences, right? So it's really important that we have that response of, one, knowing intimate partner violence and all the dynamics that exist there, but also the other considerations that we have as Indigenous people.
Right. And where does somebody, and I was thinking when you were saying this too, that you have a possible abuser or controller in somebody's life. What happens with them? Are they able to call in and check in? I mean, I don't think I've ever really asked that question.
That's a really great question. And absolutely, our advocates are trained to respond to some of our relatives who use violence, right? Mm-hmm. And this is if they're reaching out and they're seeking, am I using abusive behaviors? Am I using controlling behaviors? That is, they're going to get a respectful advocate on the line who wants to support them. And that's our reality, is we know that, you know, we care for all of our relatives and we want safe and healthy communities. And that means, you know, providing support to our relatives who do use violence.
Wow, that's really awesome, because I can kind of picture maybe some people having some sort of low end confronting each other. Mm-hmm. and then say, well, why don't you call Stronghearts and see if this really is what I'm saying it is, if it's confirming that this is controlling, if you have my keys or want to know where I am 24/7, or have me on your cell phone so I can track you, and it's only a one-way street. They can maybe tell their boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other, hey, call this hotline, and they'll let you know.
Sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, we want to be able to use our advocates in a way to help educate our relatives, mm-hmm. whether like I said earlier, if it's the survivor, a family member or friend of a survivor, a caretaker, or someone who uses violence, right? So we do have advocates trained in responding in all of those ways.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool that we have this opportunity, and that we're amplifying it and you're amplifying this help. What were we doing before this?
You know,
it's crazy to think about it.
Yeah, that's a good question. And thankfully, this conversation, you know, the creation of Stronghearts really came from a working group of the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center and the mm-hmm. National Domestic Violence Hotline, determining that we know we have the statistics about the disproportionate rates of violence happening. But they didn't have the data, or they didn't have Indigenous people calling the helpline. So they knew that there was a disconnect. So thankfully, you know, what came from those conversations is Stronghearts Native Helpline, knowing that our relatives are much more comfortable reaching out to Indigenous advocates who are trained in intimate partner violence and historical trauma and cultural considerations. And they're more comfortable reaching out. I think I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but before we were 24/7, mm-hmm. our helpline was actually Monday through Friday when it was very young, right? Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, very limited hours. And we know that violence and victimization happens at all times and every day. And so prior to rolling out our 24/7 option, relatives could call in. And if it was, you know, outside of those 9 to 5 hours, they would get an option to transfer over to the national helpline or national hotline, excuse me. Mm. We found, our data supports that wasn't happening. Mm. Even though that was an option, that wasn't happening. They were either calling back or not calling, you know, not connecting to the national hotline. So that even further told us we need to exist in a 24/7 manner so that our relatives can reach out at any time and connect with an advocate who understands them.
Wow, really exciting. We're about to end this segment. And Haley or Rachel, I'd love to hear how we can connect, because, again, we have so many people listening to us over the nation here on radio.
Sure. You can reach Stronghearts at, you can call us at 1-844-7-NATIVE, or you can also text that number, and you can chat at www.strongheartshelpline.org, and also give our website a visit. Even if you don't want to chat, you can check out some of the resources we have, our blogs, and we actually have printed materials that you can request on our website, and we will mail them.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. As Houston picks up debris after last night's storms that have killed at least four people, CBS Pittsburgh reporter Krista Rose at the scene of one of three tornado touchdowns there today.
You can see all the tree debris that is out here, and the Pittsburgh Public Works are working very hard right now to snap these trees back, to push them back off the roadway.
As aid deliveries into Gaza begin using a pier built by the U.S. military, CBS's David Martin reports protection to ensure the safety of workers and shipments is close by.
Further out to sea, an American destroyer is standing by, ready to shoot down any incoming rockets or missiles.
David DePapa sentenced to 30 years in prison for attempting to kidnap then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and attacking her husband, Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The judge's goal in giving such a lengthy sentence is to send a message not just to David DePapa, but to other people as well, and try to deter them from this type of behavior.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are renewing their call for a task force on missing and murdered black women and girls in Wisconsin. The call comes at the same time that more dismembered remains believed to be Shardae Robinson's were found in Illinois. Representative Sheila Stubbs has tried and failed to move the bill forward for 3 years. Vice President Kamala Harris in Milwaukee Thursday reminding black voters in particular what the Biden administration is doing to boost jobs in the economy.
We are dropping trillions of dollars on the streets of America right now to build back up our roads and our bridges, our sidewalks, to invest in a clean energy economy.
Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette poll the economy is their top issue, but only 14% of black voters in the state think the economy is doing well. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're thinking about hitting the theaters this weekend for some summer movie magic, there is a lot to choose from. But this weekend, a couple of horror films are front and center. If you're looking for old-fashioned jump scares, check out The Strangers Chapter 1, but be warned, it is not reviewing all that well, which means Chapter 1 could be the final chapter. I Saw the Glow is another horror film opening, which is reviewing well with critics, but only drawing 50% from audiences. If you're looking for laughs, check out the family film If, starring Ryan Reynolds, or check out the more adult comedy Babes, about two friends whose relationship changes when one decides to have a baby after a one-night stand. Babes is pulling excellent reviews to the tune of 97% on RT. And if you feel like sitting in this weekend, there is nothing wrong with that. There's a good historical fiction series called Manhunt about the Lincoln assassination. All 7 episodes are available on Apple TV. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A sunny and warm day again for tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. In the late afternoon and evening, a couple of storms could pop up. Another nice day for Sunday, mostly sunny and a high around 80. It's 69 degrees right now.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Toomey and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who gives us an overview of summer weather and tells us how to deal with ticks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
What a great organization. Hey, you know, we, Haley, are in drive time, you know, and we're really excited to be in drive time. People in their cars driving, and it just so happens I'm in my car driving, too. So before I get in an accident, why don't we check in with the great governor of Wisconsin and what has been doing this past week.
Absolutely. Here is Governor Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. May is Mental Health Awareness Month here in Wisconsin and across the nation to reduce the stigma and encourage folks and families to have open and honest conversations around mental health. In 2023, I declared it the year of mental health because I was worried the state of mental health in Wisconsin was a quiet, burgeoning crisis, one I still believe will have cascading effects for generations if it goes unaddressed. That's why I was proud to sign a budget that made key investments in addressing our state's mental health crisis, including $30 million in school-based mental health services to support our kids, $10 million to establish 2 crisis urgent care and observation centers for folks in crisis, and $200,000 for VATCAP's Farmer Mental Health Assistance Program. And thanks in large part to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, we were also proud to announce nearly $17 million in federal funding to support operations of the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. This is all great news, but we know there is much more work to do. And I won't stop fighting to make sure every Wisconsinite has access to quality, affordable mental health care. Remember, folks, you are not alone, and help and hope are always available. Just call or text 988 and get connected to a trained crisis counselor. May it's a great reminder to take good care of ourselves and each other, and let's work together to reduce the stigma and build a healthier state for everyone. Happy Mental Health Awareness Month, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow.
Wow, Haley, this seems to be a theme here, huh?
I know. I was just going to say that. Yeah, no, it's May is a very big month for awareness for a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you know, one of the things that I was wondering if you could speak on, and I know we didn't talk about this at our, you know, 2-hour meeting before the show that we do prepping this great show.
Sure.
Haley laughed. What's going on with the cap and gowns? It's insane. And I know we kind of text back and forth, and my Facebook feed is blowing up about this. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about this and get our listening audience clued in on what the heck's going on here, because it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. This was everywhere on my social media today and yesterday as well. So we have some unfortunate news that came out of the Hinckley and Finlayson School District in northern Minnesota yesterday. The school district and the board voted to forbid tribal drumming and singing at high school graduation next week. The superintendent stated the performance would create a legal risk if community members feel it is endorsing a religious group. This is coming from NPR News as of yesterday. So, very interesting.
Yeah, very upsetting in a religious group. It's really disheartening to hear a superintendent of any size school district talk about Native Americans as a religious group. It's disheartening.
And uneducated, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And so I think floating around on Facebook, too, that there's lines to call up and phone lines to call in, but they're not answering on from people all over Turtle Island, and so just share it out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's crazy, too, because people think of, like, Indian country as so small and we're so diverse and spread out and far away from each other. But trust me when I say news like this spreads like wildfire through Indian country. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, Hinckley's school district. And they're, you know, I can read this post here. This is another post from Facebook. This is a comment here. Everybody from May 14th, so as of a few days ago, up until May 24th at Hinckley Finlayson School or High School, they will be protesting starting at 3:10 every day. They will be marching and showing, you know, that, you know, it's very, I think people get very confused when they hear about Native Americans not being a religious group. I think, you know, it's our culture that gets mistaken as a religion and our spirituality. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about creating a legality of religion, then how are we not banning all things Christianity in the school then? I don't understand how people are still forced as students to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, which quotes One Nation Under God. That sounds pretty religious to me.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I'd really love to find out what the backstory is, because this is like coming out of nowhere. And Hinckley is not that far from the Twin Cities. And also, you know, we've had some big positive things when it comes to smudging in classrooms. And this seems like just a big pushback of what us natives in Minnesota, at least, have really fought for and got.
Exactly, too. It just like really is dividing the community. It feels like, you know, as a society, especially in this district of Hinckley, is, you know, we're going backwards in history, which is not at all something we want to do. I want to mention this too. This is another comment. It's been said, we're trying to heal and trying to change the narrative by turning school and education into a positive part of our lives. And because it's been so triggering and traumatizing from when our great grandparents and grandparents, you know, were forced into boarding schools and assimilated and were abused in every way possible, you know, I think, you know, we got to be pushing on this more and more because our graduation rates of our kids just keep climbing. So I say let them sing and let them drum. And if not, they're going to do it anyways.
Yeah, really, really good perspective, Haley. Really appreciate that. Wow. You know, and I think that, you know, in my teaching career, I've been lucky to be teaching where the principals and administration are really open to it. As a matter of fact, we had we were in the Native American magnet school in St. Paul. So we were lucky, but we still had some problems too. You know, in the beginning in the 90s with people, the old guard not wanting people to wear feathers and especially not beaded caps. They wanted it all the same. And in that, there were some pictures too. Did you see there was somebody that was trying to go to graduation this past day too, or yesterday too, that they didn't let her walk because of her, she had beading. And then they showed some other people who had stuff on and they let them go.
Right. Yeah. It's very, very confusing. And too, like when you talk about, I know you started the first Native homeroom in, you know, St. Paul in one of our very populated schools. And, you know, I think they did have, you know, a high percentage of Native students. But then like going back to this Hinckley Finlayson school district, according to the most recent state data, Native American students make up about 1/4 of their school population, which is quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because we're used to like 1-2% maximum, but different pockets. And I know like in Black River Falls, for instance, that school district's very large in Ho-Chunks and Natives. And but they still get a lot of backlash out there. And, you know, part of me growing my hair back in the day, and I know I've cut it not really short, but it's been cut, that I wanted to really, you know, support our young ones that do grow their hair and do get bullied. And this is a thing that's totally bizarre. It's coming up at the end of school, and all this stuff is happening in not a good way. So it's really good that we talk about this, Haley, and it's really good that we have Native Roots Radio to talk about it. I've talked to some people recently that just, you know, just give us a lot of credit for getting stuff out like this that no one hears on the air.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess, you know, this decision of the Hinckley-Finlayson School Board to not let students drum and sing at graduation, I guess this decision was made, obviously, unanimously, surprise, surprise, but also after a meeting with the community or with the board. So not only did they hear and listen to our side of the story and how we're not a religion, but they still decided against us.
Well, that goes back to what we say at the very end of the show most of the time, and that's, you know, vote, you know, run for office, those things. And so we have representation, and that we have a chair at the table, and, you know, we're not being fed at the table, but we, and if there is not a chair for us at the table, get a folding chair and pull yourself up, because we deserve to be there. And amplifying this is just, you know, you reached out to me with this information earlier today, and this is exactly what we have to talk about. I'm kind of glad that we had a little problem with segment three. because we can talk about this, and hopefully I'm sounding okay because I'm in my car and pulled over. And but Haley, I appreciate all you do, and you know, getting the young perspective and the Native perspective is so important for our work here at Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to, you know, let everyone know I'm doing this for our future generations, and congrats to all the graduates, Native graduates, specifically graduating this year. It's not easy for us as a Native population with our statistics. So really, really good job. I know we have about probably 30 seconds left here, but, you know, let them sing, let them drum. And, you know, Hinckley-Finlayson School District, you guys really put out the smoke signals here, and we will be showing up.
Wow, really great way to end it. That's hopefully the mother station can pop some bumper music and get us out on that, because that was a good mic drop, Haley.
Thank you. Yeah, everyone, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back with Wendy Pilot in a new Sacred Animal segment. Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Why must the world be so cold? They've gone against what was told. Thinking rape is cool? Think about it. They think it's not wrong? Violence against women? The rape, the abuse, the emotional, physical? They all hold the hate. Think about it. Is it right or wrong? What attracts you? I'm not saying no names, but you laugh. Talk about it like nothing is wrong? Think about it. They all hold the hate? Gotta stop the violence. Stop the hate? Think about it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Tiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners.
And
we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Ho-wah.
Hey, this portion of the show is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Yeah. Wow. Yes. Great little bumper there, Wendy.
That's right. Tiergan and Hadley.
We love those awesome guys. It's always great to see them. They're at a lot of events in the cities, a lot of Native events, a lot of energy events, a lot of really cool stuff.
And, yes.
You know, it's funny. We have Haley, or we have her shirts.
Yeah, the George Floyd shirts. Love them. It's one of my favorites. I wear it all the time. I don't have it on now, but yes.
I wear it in the plane a lot of times when we fly to New York.
Yeah, definitely.
We love that. Hey, Wendy, you don't have to reintroduce yourself, but it's great to have you on again for another segment. It's like old times.
I know.
You and Dr. Stately have to renegotiate your contract, it sounds like, because you've been on a lot lately, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's no problem. I love to be on and talk about the animals, but I just lost what I was looking at here. So earlier I was talking about like all the bugs that are being killed by all these chemicals, and that the birds are starving because they don't have a lot of
bugs
to eat. And not all birds eat bugs, but a lot of them do. But some of the birds that eat bugs, I'm really surprised to hear this, and I'm a little upset about some of the bugs that they do eat, because some of them eat like butterflies and stuff. So like bluebirds, cardinals, chickadees, European starlings, you know all these birds, right? Yeah. So like cardinals, for instance, they eat beetles, grasshoppers, snails, crickets, leafhoppers, cicadas, flies, centipedes, spiders, and butterflies. So a cardinal will eat a butterfly. I'm not so happy about
that's why we feed them all those peanuts and things in our backyard so they won't eat the butterflies.
Yeah, so fly catchers, orioles, they eat a bunch of sparrows, swallows. Some of these I can't pronounce, so I'm not mentioning them. Warbles, woodpeckers, and wrens. So what you want to do is you want to attract these type of birds, right, to your yard so they eat all the bugs. So you want to have shelter for them. You want to have water for them. You want to have shade for them. You want to have some seeds for them. You want to have all these things. So we have tons of birds in our backyard just because I even just put the seeds out for them.
Yeah.
And
blue jays, cardinals, which for me as a little kid, I've seen them, but rarely see them. We see them 3 or 4 times a day now.
I know. And we also saw, so by accident, I bought 2 bags of peanuts. So I buy peanuts in the shell and I throw them out, and the squirrels, you know, open them up and eat them. And even the crows come and get the peanuts in the shell and like put them in the bird bath and like soften them up and crack them open and eat them. But by accident, I bought peanuts for wildlife without the shell. So they're just free.
So any wildlife.
So I throw a bunch out, and Robert then sends me these pictures of these huge raccoons.
Never seen them this big.
In our yard. Oh my God. They were so big. Even our next door neighbor, when she saw me, she was like, "Oh my God, Wendy, we saw 2 big giant raccoons in your backyard." I guess that
we have those true trees outside, and they're kind of close to our four season porch and also your studio. And I was looking out the window at your studio, and they were climbing up the trees, and I went, holy mackerel, they got thumbs. They could open up this window here and come in and join me. I got a little frightened.
They were gigantic. Yeah. I'm excited. You know, we saw Jane Goodall.
Oh,
yeah, right?
That was awesome.
So Jane Goodall, I love her. And Leonardo DiCaprio are going to produce a live action film told from a dog and a wolf's perspective, and it's called Howl. So I'm really excited to find out. I want to find out when that's coming out and where it will be playing.
And maybe we can get Leonardo on.
The whole, yeah, I'd like to get Jane. Never mind Leonardo. Yeah. I'd rather have Jane Goodall on. But they hope that this film will help change perceptions of the Big Bad Wolf. So I'm looking for that. Looking forward to that. I have that kind of bookmarked in my my stuff here. So here's another good point. You know, I find all these little tidbits on social media. Mm-hmm. But if you lose your dog, they say make sure to alert your local postal workers and delivery drivers and garbage collectors, because they're in the neighborhood all the time.
Yeah.
And they could help spot and help you get your dog back and spot your dog.
Remember when we lost Mickey?
I do. I'll never forget that.
The little girl called you, or a little boy called you?
Little boy, yeah. Oh, my God. That was like one of the worst days of, literally one of the worst days of my life. I think I cried for 15 hours straight. We were away, and we had somebody house sitting, and there was a storm, a thunder and lightning storm. And we don't know what happened, but Mickey, our chihuahua, got out. He was probably trying to find us.
One job.
Yeah, one job. Like,
watch the dog.
Watch the dog and make sure the gate is kept closed. That's all you have to do. Like, keep the dog alive and keep the gate closed.
Yeah, keep the dog alive.
So we drove home from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that night.
To a lost dog.
We didn't know what to do.
How long ago was that? That was a long time ago, before like social media.
I want to say 2006.
2006. Yeah. So that was a long time ago. But you got on your computer and made posters with pictures of Mickey and our phone number and our information. And I'm telling you, put it in everybody's mailbox within a eight block radius around our house.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that I don't think we wanted to go down the street, because we were just trying to do a couple blocks each side of our house. And I think we went on the other side of Creighton.
Yeah.
And we didn't think that was going to be. And we put it on a big telephone pole. I don't even think we put it in their house.
That's right. That's right, Robert. You put it on a telephone pole across a pretty busy street.
Yeah, we never thought he would have gone across that street.
Yeah, and we were just out all night long just trying to calling him, driving around, looking around. I mean, he's a little chihuahua. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. He could be anywhere behind a little bush. You're never going to find him. He's not like a big, great Pyrenees dog that's going to be out in the open. But yeah, the next day, I don't think I slept all night and got a the phone rang. We had a landline back then, and the phone rang. And...
But it was a wireless landline.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, it was a wireless landline. I picked up the phone, and it was a little boy, and he was like, "Hi, I think I have your dog." And I was like, "What? Oh my gosh!" And you had just left because you had to get
back to Madison.
And then I called you, and you turned around and came back, and I gave you the address, and you went to pick up Mickey, and then you came home. Oh my God.
He was so worn out.
When I saw
dirty.
His face, he was so happy to see me. He was crying. And then when we got him in the house, he drank a lot of water. He was all dirty. And I was just like, all right, just leave him alone. I'm not going to, you know.
And then you got him chipped immediately.
Yeah, I got him microchipped. And oh, my gosh. But I remember him. He was like so happy to be home. Like you could tell he was just laying there. And every now and then he'd just take a big sigh and a deep breath like, you know, and I was just like, oh, Mickey, you're home. And he would wag his tail. I was so upset. So like Wanda, literally, she's microchipped.
Yeah.
She has a collar on that I bought that has, what is it? It's like a Bluetooth GPS.
Yes.
So I could find, no matter where she is, I could find her on the map.
You like looking at it, too.
And I do. Every now and then I say, make sure this thing's working. And I also have a little collar with her name and our information on it. So she's like, she has every bit of information on her she goes missing.
Whenever I see anybody's animal pass away, I always put
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us as we look back on the news of the weekend and how the Willie Nelson concert was, and your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.